Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Boom. New Tapes and Scouts coming at your ear holes right now.
It's like a movie in your mind.
That was the film running out. Oh no.
Run! The magazine's empty. That's not a gun thing. That's a film thing, people. Gosh.
Oh, the magazines.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, jeez.
We're weird.
I'd like to go first because it's a direct follow-up to the movie I ended with.
All right. Then we're ending poorly. Let's do it.
Yes. I love it. Yes. I would end it poorly, too, if it makes you feel any better.
It does, actually.
Okay. You're going to get a lot of gripes out here on this one.
Let's do it.
2019.
Sure.
Rim of the World.
Rim of the World?
Rim of the World.
Interesting.
I watched this on February 20th, 2021.
Sure.
It is 1 hour, 38 minutes. It's an adventure movie directed by fucking McG.
Oh, boy. McG. Open invitation.
Yeah.
Get on here.
Starring Maya Cech, I'm going to go with. It's C-E-C-H.
Hmm.
So Jack Gore, a much easier name to say.
Good job, Jack.
And Benjamin Flores Jr.
A little tougher, but you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome here.
IMDb movie summary. Four misfit campers must band together and conquer their fears in order to save the world from an alien invasion.
All right.
It's a kids going an adventure movie.
Oh, man. The McG kids going an adventure movie.
The McG version.
That could be good or bad.
That could be. So we got McG, McG of the Babysitter,
yep.
Or McG of the Babysitter 2.
Ooh, which McG is it?
Which McG shows up to this one? My thoughts on this movie is, and I really want to talk, the reason I want to talk about this is because of the previous episode, if you haven't listened, we talked about Finding Ohana, mm-hmm. which that movie put the evolution of the characters and the arcing and the relationships first. McG has heard of none of these things in this particular film. He was just like, holy shit, kids can blow some stuff up in this movie. And so that's what he was far more interested in with this one. Not that the kids aren't really, like, they're doing a great job with what they're given. And these sure. kids are given basically personalities that are flatter than a coin. Like, they're just caricatures. The one girl is moody and doesn't talk. The one kid talks way too much.
Ooh.
The other kid's kind of a bad boy.
Eh.
And then the one kid is kind of the dorky, doesn't fit in. His mom brought him to camp and everybody laughed because she kissed him, kid.
Aww.
Yeah.
Sweet moms.
It's...
We support sweet moms here.
We do support sweet moms, but we do not support poor characters, poorly written characters.
No, we don't.
It's just kind of a shame. It's fun to watch. Like, I had fun watching this movie. Like, the visuals were all cool, and the characters' little interactions and dialogue were funny at times. Like, I didn't dislike this movie in any way, but you know I have a special place in my heart for kids going on adventure movies.
That's right.
And I am a very harsh scrutinizer of these coming-of-age tales. And this one just didn't do a whole lot to actually make the characters do. Like, of course, the nerdy kid realizes that he can come out of a shell and be confident. And, you know, the kid who talks too much realizes that there are things more important than just looking cool and acting cool. And the quiet girl realizes she's allowed to have friends, just right. have to push everybody away. It's like, this is all, like, stuff that you see in children's literature, you know what I mean? Or, like, YA novels and
right.
things that, like, you're starting to learn how to do things. And not every movie has to be aimed at adults. And I'm not saying this necessarily is, but I really don't feel like kids are going to get a lot out of this. Like, I don't feel like they're going to connect to the characters the way they would in something like a Finding Ohana. So, eh. Just my overall, like, again, a mostly forgettable film. Does about as much bad as it does right. So it's not a bad watch, but okay. yeah.
You said The Scrutinizer, and I was just like, that sounds like a Jason Statham movie.
The Scrutinizer? The
Scrutinizer.
Jason Statham is The Scrutinizer.
If it was a comedy and he just stood behind you like, I think you've had enough salt on that.
Yeah.
Really scrutinizing everything you do.
I'm really going to wear those pants with that top, all right.
Yeah, I guess I'll drive you down there then. Jason Statham is
The Scrutinizer. IMDb gives this a 5.2 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, a little bit more harsh scrutiny from them. 15 of them give this a 27%.
Ooh.
Audience, 250 plus. Give it 48%.
Okay.
And I'm coming in right in the middle of IMDb and the audience with a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
It does about as much right as it does wrong. It's fine.
So kids go on adventure completionists only?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't, if you wanted to watch this with like a teen or something and you wanted to throw something on that was like kind of fun and they'd probably hold their interest, like this, you're not, you could do worse.
Sure.
But,
yeah. Hey, McG, if you want to come on here and talk about this movie and what you were thinking and one what young adult novel you were reading, let us know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I got a movie. I got a movie that's of interest. I'm interested. It's from 2015. It's called, wait for it, Llamageddon.
Of course it is.
Yes. Oh,
my goodness.
Yes, it is. And I watched this one with my mother-in-law.
Of course you did.
Because I said, hey, mother-in-law, Llamageddon. And she goes, oh, hell yeah.
Wow.
And that is just the relationship I have with my mother-in-law.
It's amazing that after Killer Tomatoes, you could get her to, like, talked into a movie called Llamageddon.
She was all about it.
Wow.
So, my wife got up and walked away. So, she does not have a score. I watched this on the 18th of August of 2021. Your IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 9 minutes. Genre comedy sci-fi. Directed by Howie DeWin.
DeWin.
I'm assuming. Starring Louis the Llama.
Oh, of course.
He got top billing. I love it.
That's amazing.
Danny Ambassa and Pinky Brainwells. I swear to God, I think
Pinky
that's what
and
I
the
wrote.
Brainwells?
Brainwise?
Pinky and the Brainwise.
Pinky and the Brainwise. Narf. IMDb movie summary. A killer llama from outer space crash lands on Earth and brings death and destruction to everyone in its path.
I like it.
Low budget movie. Somebody had access to a llama. That's all that really mattered.
You know what? If you're going to be Rodriguez about it, be Rodriguez about it.
I agree. My bullet points. Mostly silly movie, poking fun at its genre.
I like it.
Real llama was used.
Mm.
They just added really CG laser eyes is all that they added to the llama.
Good enough.
Humor is hit or miss, but certain gags definitely land. There's one character, because they're at a party. They're having a party at a cabin, and that's where the llama shows up, essentially. And the one character makes this throwaway line about having a really deep wardrobe. And, like, every other scene from that point forward, he's wearing different clothes for the rest of the movie.
Oh, that's fun.
So it's, like, really dumb, but the fact that they committed to it so incredibly hard, because when I tell you it's a throwaway line, I didn't realize they were doing it right away until I'm like,
oh, that's awesome.
Because at first I'm like, oh, I guess he took the shirt off and he had like an undershirt or something, but then he's wearing like a completely other clothes for the rest
that's
of
it. That's wild.
It was like, there's some, like, that's so smart in a dumb way.
Right. Like, why'd you put that much thought here?
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
And like I said, the only real special effects are on laser eyes for the llama. There's some okay practical effects, but
cool.
Not a lot.
But that's all right. At least they tried.
Yeah, this is just reasons to have a llama murk everybody. Sadly, you can kind of see how it's going to end coming.
Sure.
Because I don't think I'm that smart, and I saw it coming. And it's just a dumb movie about a llama, and I had fun watching it. It made me chuckle.
Awesome.
But it's, you know,
okay.
It's only so good.
Right.
IMDb gave it a 4.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics did not. Their audience also did not.
Sounds right.
And I also gave it a 4. The mother-in-law gave it a 3.5.
Fair enough.
She said there was a llama.
They didn't lie about that.
She didn't lie. That llama was there and it had laser eyes.
I like it.
Yep.
So 2020 was a year they made movies, but not many.
Not like they used to.
Now, I watched this one 27th of February 2021, and it is called Bigfoot Family.
Oh, man.
It is 1 hour and 29 minutes long. It is a family comedy film.
Was I right to turn back and look at Sam?
This was a Sam pick. Directed by Jeremy Dagerson and Ben Stassen? Stassen?
Ben's test.
Somebody like that. Starring dun. Jace Norman, Pappy Faulkner, and Clara Quilishini. Sorry, Sarah. Movie summary. Follow up when I did not know this when we picked it. I don't think Sam knew either. This is a sequel to a film called Son of Bigfoot.
Okay.
In this film, the father, who is Bigfoot, uses his newfound fame to fight against an Alaskan oil company. But when he disappears, the family has to work together and head north to rescue him.
Wow, migrating Bigfoots?
So the father is a scientist who becomes Bigfoot.
Like werewolfy?
A little bit, but okay. Like not like he turns hostile. He's perfectly intelligent. He's just big and hairy.
Like Smart Hulk.
Kind of smart Hulk, yeah.
Okay.
So this is all about the fame that he has, and it kind of separates him and the son because the son kind of resents that his dad's like famous and doesn't spend time with him anymore. Oh,
my dad's just all Bigfooty and stuff.
And so they kind of ignore that for a while the dad goes out and decides to kind of bring to light the atrocities that this very mustache twirly oil company is committing up in northern Alaska.
Sure.
And of course he disappears. I wonder where he could be. He went to go, picket a well-known oil company and suddenly disappeared. Wonder what could have happened. So the family figures out that something nefarious must have occurred and decide to go rescue the father.
Okay.
And that's about the movie. There's nothing much going on here. It's pretty poor. The pacing is not good. There's not enough movie here to really, the last 20 minutes of this movie are just like one big set piece.
Sure.
Okay. And it's not like in a cool Mitchell's versus the Machines kind of way.
Right.
It's in a yawn, not great kind of way.
Is the family like Bigfoots as well? Or
no, they are not Bigfeet.
Oh, man.
They're just people, and the dad is a Bigfoot.
Is Bigfeet how you say it? Or is it Bigfoot? Is it like deer? I'm not sure now.
They do have like animal pets, like bear and raccoon friend.
Oh, nice.
So that's kind of cool, but they're not that great either. They have little moments. They're pretty good. They're in a camper.
Help me, Trash Panda.
It's not spectacular film. Not really. What it boils down to is in these family movies, you get a few jokes. They don't really land most of the time. But there's no heart in this movie. They're just like, what can we use this Bigfoot for who's a famous scientist? Oh, we'll just have him boycott an oil company. Which is fine. I mean, totally noble thing to do. But then you're like halfway lost between that storyline and the father-son storyline, and they never really kind of connect both things. They try to, but it's just kind of like, oh, Dad, I'm sorry. You're using your fame for good. It's like, all right, cool, man. It just didn't land for me at all. The animation's aight. It's aight.
Aight.
IMDb gives it a 5.8 out of 10.
Sure.
There were not enough critics to rank this, but from what I saw, it looked like the average was a 3 out of 10.
Sure.
Audience, 50 plus people gave it a 36%, and I'm pretty much on the wagon here with that at a 3.5 out of 10. Oof. It's not very good.
Was this a Netflix movie?
It was a Netflix movie. It
feels like a Netflix movie.
Yeah, apparently the first one's actually pretty good.
Interesting. But will you go back?
Absolutely no.
I guess that means I gotta. Son of Bigfoot.
Son of Bigfoot.
I won't remember until I edit this, so future Tim. Sorry, buddy.
Son of a Bigfoot. The son is a Bigfoot? Is he? The whole time? All right, apparently the son is a Bigfoot, I'm told.
Huh.
But just goes to show you how forgettable this film actually is.
Dang. Dad, I have a confession. I'm also a Bigfoot.
I was a teenage Bigfoot.
I was a teenage Bigfoot. Well, I just assumed that's how the theme song would go.
Yep.
I got a movie.
It's going to end poorly, I remember.
Yeah, it's from 2020.
Oh, boy, that's what my crappy movie was from.
Yeah, it's called Human Capital.
Not Human Centipede.
That would have been more enjoyable.
Yikes.
First of all, let's talk about Human Centipede. Why do you put the guy who doesn't speak English and just screams the whole time as the mouthpiece of the centipede?
I don't know.
It's grating.
It is. It certainly is. And it's not like the doctor's much better.
No.
Vida! If I do like Human Centipede more than I should, I will admit.
I mean, it's a creative enough idea.
It is.
But this is the movie I warned you about in a prior episode that it has great people in it and they do nothing with it.
Oh, boy.
It's an hour 38. I watched it on the 25th of August. It's a drama, I'm told. Directed by Mark Myers, starring Marissa Tomei.
You love Marissa Tomei.
I love Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei, Jerry.
That's right. Peter Sarsgaard. And Liev Schreiber.
Wow.
I love Liev Schreiber and Marissa Tomei a whole hell of a lot and was super excited to see them in a movie together.
Sure.
But this isn't My Cousin Vinny and this isn't Ray Donovan.
No.
And boy, oh boy.
Yikes.
IMDb movie summary. The lives of two different families collide when their children begin a relationship that leads to a tragic accident.
Oh, sounds like Romeo and Juliet.
Sounds kind of like it.
A little bit.
Except it's not anywhere near as good or thought-provoking or Shakespearean. Damn. Or a story of Note. Bullet points. I thought with Liev Schreiber and Marissa Tomei, I would love this movie. I was wrong.
You were wrong.
The idea of the plot is fine, but the characters don't do much at all. Mm. A man invested a business venture that he can't afford, and it gets a little rough and dicey. That's Liev Schreiber is just like a normal dude.
Okay.
Essentially, his daughter is dating a rich kid, and the dad is known to have a lot of money, and he does investing in different things.
Sure.
So they're going to launch some new technology. Things go questionable, and he's like, I just kind of want my money back because I kind of lied to you. I can come up with the money, but if it doesn't pan out, I'm kind of screwed.
Ooh.
Marissa Tomei plays the rich guy's wife, and she's kind of dull and boring. She doesn't do anything either. She's like, I want to restore a theater downtown. And it's just like, okay. That's really about the extent of it. The kids are the most interesting part of it, but they're not enough.
That's a shame.
And when you have that much star power and these lesser known actors that are playing the children are like awesome.
Right.
That's not good.
No, it's a shame when you have these characters, like, they're not quite the main characters, but they're going to help push the movie along, and you kind of give them no real business.
Right.
It's just like, but there's nothing really to watch. Like, you've written flat characters who have nothing to do on the screen. What are they supposed to do with that?
Right. The daughter especially is really good at emoting everything that's happening, but it's just a lot of happenstance and things just kind of falling the way they do, and it's like nothing really gets resolved.
That sucks.
And I was just like, why did I bother?
Yeah.
Everybody kind of sucks is my last bullet point.
I see.
So IMDb gave it a 5.8 somehow. 63 critics at Rotten Tomatoes gave it 67%. They're on the take.
Uh-huh.
The audience, 100 plus, gave it 31%.
Sounds like they know what's up.
Sounds like it. I gave it a 4.5, and my wife gave it a 5.
Okay.
But we both were kind of just like, why did we waste our time?
That's a shame. Again, the forgettable.
Yep.
Boring, forgettable, not going to make an impression. Is that worse than so bad you remember it? I remember that movie had a llama in it. This one you don't remember at all.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely. And it makes me feel like I should switch the scores and Llamageddon should get the 4.5.
There you go.
We're going to do that. That's now canon. Human Capital gets a 4 out of 10.
All right. I love it. Just throwing around those 0.5s.
Oh, it's not good. Bye.